Ramsey TV.
Yeah, so I was with Juliana at the grocery store a couple days ago. We were buying some supplies, some edible supplies for Thanksgiving. And we saw this elderly woman. To say that this woman is an elderly woman would be like saying that King Tut is old. I mean, this woman looked like she had survived the sinking of the Titanic and World War II. But the remarkable thing about this woman is she had a face diaper on. And the face diaper, like, was sticking out maybe an inch. And it looked like it had been on the Titanic with her. That she put it on to protect herself from the noxious fumes coming from the smokestacks as the Titanic sank. And then she saved it as a souvenir. And then in World War II, being in Britain at the time, she wore it during the bombing raids. Yes, as the Luftwaffe sent their evil planes to destroy London. There she was in the bomb shelter with that same mask. And now, today, or should I say 3 days ago, standing in line at Winn-Dixie, so enamored of this face diaper, is she, that she is still wearing it. And Juliana and I just marveled at the quality of the air. The air being filtered through the death diaper. I will call it a death diaper at this time. Was stunning. You would think that a woman as ancient as this one would have gained some sort of wisdom over the years. But I guess this just goes to show you of the hypnotic cult-like effect of many of the contemporary, quote, news, unquote, outlets. Welcome to MZTV. This is Martin Zender. Yes, today the topic is virtue signaling. This woman, I don't think she was virtue signaling. I just think she was stuck in a 100-year rut. 100-year-old rut, yeah. No, would she be 120-year-old, I think she was 120. Let's see, the Titanic sank in 1912, 22, 32, 42, 52, so 2012 would be 100 years, 119 years, she's 119 years old, she's doing pretty good. She somehow collected all her groceries. But other people, those people you see driving alone with their face diapers, incredible. Riding a bicycle with their face diapers. Do you remember the guy I told you about before, Mr. Florida? I thought he was so cool when I first moved here. I see him every day, golden locks flowing on his bicycle, tans as all get out, look like Ken, you know, Barbie's significant other. And this guy, I nicknamed him Mr. Florida because he was the ultimate cool. Then the one day, do you remember I made a show on this? I saw him riding his bicycle with a face diaper. My whole image of him was just blown. The whole fantasy I had of him was just demolished. Like those buildings in London or the Titanic. His reputation was lying at the bottom of the Atlantic Ocean in the Marianas Trench. And I re-nicknamed him Mr. Four-letter word that starts with a C. I'm sorry. Listen, I told you this before. I thank God that I saved that word for this time period of world history. I mean, I've never used it. It's a disgusting word, I think. But, and the F word had become just too commonplace, even though it still feels good, right? But I saved the C word for this time, and I thank God that I did, because it is an excellent outlet. Thank you, Mr. C, for exposing yourself in front of me and the world as a real dupe, as a real virtue signaler. You're not Ken. You're not a Fort Lauderdale icon. You're not a beach boy. You're a dupe. Shameful to be parading your dupeness publicly. Can't quite get over it. So, I seriously can't. So, now I'm going to tie in virtue signaling with the Trinity. That's right. The title of this show, Virtue Signaling and the Trinity. What, you may ask, those people wearing face diapers today in their cars or while they're on their bicycles or while they're standing in line to get turkeys. What does that have to do with the Trinity? This. Christians just cannot believe who Jesus Christ says that he is. Jesus Christ says he's the Son of God. He says, I can do nothing except what I see the Father do. He says that he only does the Father's will. And the Garden of Gethsemane, he prays to his Father to alter his course if possible. The Apostle Paul calls God the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the God of Jesus Christ. Revelation 3:14 calls him the God's creative original. Other translations say the original creation of God. Christ came into being out of God. Jesus said, I came out of the Father. I came out of the Father. And everything else came out of him. He came out of the Father. That means he was not pre-existent before God or with God. I mean, we could say, I mean, he was pre-existent before he became a man. Don't misunderstand me there. But he was not part of a mystical Godhead or a mystical Trinity. He was not that. In other words, he was not timeless. He was not in that, quote, eternal realm, whatever that was. No, he had a beginning. He's the firstborn of the creation of God. What does that tell you? This may be a figure of speech, but the truth is valid. He was born, came out of God. That was before he was born out of Mary, by the way. So he's constantly saying this. He's constantly calling God his Father. He's constantly submitting himself to the Father's will. Not my will, but your will be done. What does that tell you? We got two separate beings here. Not my will, but your will. My will, your will. Son, Father. Born, not born. Having a beginning, not having a beginning. Simple stuff, right? Oh, no. Because we have virtue signalers who don't want to believe what Christ says of himself because they think it's too humble for him. Oh, we can't have this for you. Oh, no, it's too humble for you. We're going to fix your resume. Yes, we're going to fix your resume, Jesus. Don't get all down on yourself now. You came to do God's will. You can do nothing except what you see the Father doing. You submit your will to the Father's. Come on. You're better than that. You're better than that. This makes you look weak. Come on, don't you know the principles of virtue signaling? We are going to fix your resume and we are going to elevate you to God's status there. We have fixed it. Get used to it. Stop these derogatory phrases you have concerning yourself. You are God. You are the Father. You can't die. What's this talk of being in the tomb for 3 days? No, your body was in the tomb. Jesus, don't say you were in the tomb. You weren't in the tomb for 3 days. You can't be because you're God or you're an essential part of God, an indispensable part of God. So you didn't die. You went to be with the Father. You preached to the spirits in Tartarus. You visited far corners of the galaxy talking about how you were going to re-inhabit your body in 3 days, constantly looking at your watch to see if it's time to go back into your body. No, we'll fix things for you. Oh, Jesus, the audacity of these people. The audacity. It's virtue signaling. It's like they're competing with one another to see how great they can make Jesus. Oh, yeah? Well, I say that Jesus didn't really die. Oh, yeah? Well, I say that Jesus is God. Oh, yeah? Well, I say Jesus was visiting various corners of the universe while he was dead. I say Jesus is eternal. I say Jesus had no beginning or no end. So they're competing to see who can virtue signal better instead of listening to God. Because somehow this power that causes people to preen, to parade. This guy on the bike, Mr. C, he's parading. He loves it. He thinks people look at him and think, look at that noble man. He's going the extra mile. Why? He cares so much more than the rest of us. Cares for the human race. Cares for the safety of the world. In fact, he's helping to save the world by wearing his sea mask on his sea bicycle and parading his sorry golden locks through the streets. This guy is a major virtue signaler. Do you know what happened one day? I'm running down 3rd Street on the sidewalk, and here he comes, and I avert my eye. I can't look at the guy. I used to be able to. I loved to look at him before. I just imbibed of his essence. To me, he was the quintessential Floridian. So I just esteemed the guy. And one day, back in the day, I got the courage to say hi to him. And he said hi back to me. Like, oh, my God, Mr. Florida just said hi to me. Now, I can't even look at the guy. I can't even look at the guy. But on this particular day, I said I forced myself to look. I don't know why, but mind you, I'm on the sidewalk. He's on the road. He's probably 12 feet from me. Well, this day, Mr. C had slipped. Oh, yes. His face diaper was under his nose. But when he saw me approaching, I was still 50 yards away. I saw him pull his little diapy up over his nosy. Yes, because if I happen to be looking at him, I might think he's a lesser C if he failed in this exercise. Surely he didn't believe that he could be contaminated by me through his nose from a distance of 12 to 15 feet outdoors. Surely he couldn't think that. I don't know. Look, Peter had the same problem. Peter was virtue signaling when Christ, his master, is predicting his death. He's going to be given up to the high priest, going to be crucified. Peter, virtue signaling, says, no, no, we won't have this for you. No, he said, I won't let this happen. Far be it from me, for me, to let this happen to you. So imagine the apostles competing with one another in the virtue signaling department. Just try to imagine it. If you can't, I'll do it for you. Peter says, well, I told him there's no way we were going to let him die. Andrew says, oh, yeah, well, I told him that we're going to spirit him away to Antioch and we're going to protect him from the evil priests. And then Bartholomew says, oh, that's nothing, guys. I'm going to take his place. I'm going to die for him. All these preeners looking to improve upon the announcements / resume of Christ. Like, no, this is too bad for you. This is too ugly for you. Same thing happens with evil. Same thing. I know people. In fact, there's this. Oh, anyway, I know people who just cannot believe that God created evil.
It's too ugly, God. What are you doing to yourself? You make these wild statements, you're out of control, you're not carefully considering your image. I want to be your PR agent. I'll fix it for you. You didn't create evil, okay?
God says in Isaiah 45, verse 7, I create good, I create evil, I do all things. Everything comes out of God, John 1, 1. Nothing that exists apart from God. Now forget about that. You don't know any better.
I look at this from every angle, gonna protect you from your own carelessness. You're too careless with your image. What do you mean you created evil? There's some really bad evil out there. You can't take responsibility for this. We're gonna help you. We're gonna polish your image a little bit.
Yeah. Gonna spin ya. We're gonna spin ya. And so everybody's competing to see how much they can improve God's image, to see how much they can protect God from his careless statements, to protect Jesus from his careless statements. These people have better ideas about how it should be. Why? If they were God, they wouldn't create evil. If they were Jesus Christ, they would be God. None of this subservient business where Jesus Christ in 1 Corinthians 15 surrenders his kingdom to the Father. None of this Jesus Christ having a God and Father. Come on. People are gonna think you're not God if you say things like these. What's that? What about free will? Now I don't think there's any preening going on there no virtue signaling. It's just pure self-righteousness, pure selfishness, self-righteousness, arrogance, free will, self-righteous arrogance. The worst of humanity comes out with free will. The worst of humanity, to be captain of your own fate. Fuck you, God. I don't want you bothering me. I don't want you making decisions. I don't want you controlling me in any way. Yeah, that's free will. Get out of my life, God. That's free will. I love it. I love what I just said there. It's ugly, but that's the ugly face of human free will. Get out of my life. Quit influencing things. This is my show, baby. My show. This is my show. Get out of my life. Step aside. Step back. Quit getting your fingers in my pie. Okay? Get out of town. You can watch me so I can call you sovereign, but I don't want you anywhere near influencing my freaking decisions. Do you understand? Quit being a deity. Cool your jets. That's free will. That's not preening. That's not virtue signaling. That's pure arrogance. Eternal torment. Good question. What's eternal torment? It could be construed as virtue signaling in that you want to keep up with the Joneses. Honey, the Joneses believe in eternal torment. I think we should too. Look at their house. Look at our house. I wish our house looked like their house. No, it's just mainly evil in the heart. Pure, undiluted evil in the hearts of people who are happy, deep down happy. Oh, they'll say they don't want it to be true. We wish eternal torment weren't true. Bullshit. Yes, you want it to be true. When I present verses that prove it's not true, if you really didn't want it to be true, you would, wow, you have proof. Let me see this. Oh yeah, that makes sense. If you really wanted, like, the salvation of all to be true, and you wanted to get out of this uncomfortable position of thinking that God eternally torments people. But no, that's not how it works. Instead, it's more like straining to see how verses can be twisted, straining to not look at the facts out of the Greek, the mistranslation of Ion, the mistranslation of Hades, Gehenna, Tartarus, straining to find a wrinkle so that eternal torment can be true, not straining to find, ooh, a translation issue that proves it's not true. No, that's just pure evil in the heart. So I think I've made my point today. People who believe in the Trinity are virtue signalers. People who believe in free will are arrogant, self-righteous nincompoops. And people who believe in eternal torment are just pure evil. Martin Zender, at your service.